Gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY23 earnings conference call of Electro Steel Castings Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you all. My name is Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Electro Steel Castings Limited. On behalf of the company, I'd like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings conference call for the first quarter of financial year 2023. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's beliefs as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Now let me introduce you to the management participating with us in today's call and hand it over to them for opening remarks. We have with us Mr. Sivalai Senthilnathan, Vice President, Finance and Corporate Affairs, Mr. V.M. Sridharan, Senior General Manager of Finance, and Mr. Gaurav Somani, Joint General Manager of Finance. Without any further delay, I request Mr. Senthilnathan to start with his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Anuj. Good evening, everybody. It is a pleasure to welcome you to these earnings conference calls for the first quarter of financial year 2023. Firstly, I hope that everyone is keeping safe and well. Let me first take you through the financial performance for Q1 FY23 of our company on a standalone basis. The total income for the quarter was ₹1,751 crores, an increase of about 72% year-on-year. EBITDA reported was ₹226 crores, a growth of about 48% year-on-year, and the EBITDA margin stood at 12.88% for the quarter. Net profit after tax reported was ₹104 crores, an increase of approximately 95% year-on-year, while the PAT margin stood at 5.95%. The total DIP production in Q1 FY23 was 164,000 metric ton as against 131,450 metric ton in Q1 FY22. While the total DIP sales in Q1 FY23 was 158,000 metric ton as against 128,000 metric ton in Q1 FY22. With this, we can now open the floor for the question and answer session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah, namaskar sir, and thank you for this opportunity. Sir, you mentioned the volume for current quarter at 164,000 ton and sales at 158.
Yes. 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 Okay.
Yes. Yes. And for what was the number for March quarter, sir? The previous quarter.
March quarter production was 178,000.
Right.
And sales was also close to 178,000 only.
178. Right. So, sir, can you help me with the EBITDA number for this quarter, sir? EBITDA per ton?
EBITDA, overall EBITDA, we reported 225 crores in Q1.
Yeah, I'm looking for per ton EBITDA, sir, and the comparable number for the March quarter.
You can calculate the blended EBITDA, Sakeji. So this is the total EBITDA that we have generated.
Okay.
And previous quarter, that is previous year, we did EBITDA of 153 crores.
Sir, could you sir, throw some more light, firstly, on the business environment currently for the pipe sector? The key highlights if you could throw some more light how this current year looks like with what we have reported in the first quarter in terms of order booking.
So in terms of industry, the industry has been doing well. Nothing has changed in last 3-4 months. So there is ample demand. There is push from the government. And as you are aware, the Jal Jeevan Mission scheme, which has started in 2019. So 2024 is the estimated expected date by when the government aims to provide tapped water to each and every household. So what we understand that government is on track and the push that is required, it is there. So demand side, there's ample demand. There's no issue as such. In terms of raw material prices were volatile during the previous financial year, more towards coking coal prices, which are imported. So which at one point of time had hit around $670. And recently it came down to below $200 and it is now again at around $230. So $670, $680 was more of abrasion. And so raw material prices have been volatile because of which the margins have been fluctuating. Going forward, demand from the demand side, we feel that there is a lot of demand and we have been operating at 100% capacity, near to 100% capacity. So, yeah, this is it.
Yes. Okay. So, how will this fluctuation in the raw material will have the bearing on our margin profile and how what steps have we taken to, if any, to insulate ourselves so that we can maintain our EBITDA potential going forward?
So we have been able to maintain our EBITDA in Q1, though the margins have slightly come down. But absolutely, if you see the absolute number, it has gone up, backed by higher volumes. And see, controlling raw material prices is not possible for us. Though we are trying to pass on the higher cost, but as the prices have come down, so we feel that it will not be very difficult in coming quarters to pass on the cost.
See, to add on what Gaurav said, Mr. Saket Kapoor, generally the entire DA pipe industry are operating on same raw material. Everything is same. There are about 10, 12 players. Any price increase for one player will also have an impact on others. So all of us, you know, we will be affected by the price rise and, you know, the suppliers have to give, you know, the price rise because nobody can supply at loss. So we don't, you know, anticipate a great problem in, you know, getting a price revision in case if the price of the raw material go up.
Correct. So can you give the number for NSR number, sir, for Mr. Sensor for this quarter?
What number?
NSR, net sale realization for the pipe.
Rakeshji, net realization was higher than Q4. It was higher by around 10%. So it was closer to the range of around 65,000 rupees per ton.
Okay. And the current order booking which we are doing, sir, can you give the trajectory at what prices and also on the some color on the order book, sir?
So the present order book that we have is of around 4 months. And in terms of realization, it is lower to the realization that we have done in Q1.
Okay, and that is factoring in the fall in the raw material prices. That is the key reason for the thing?
Right.
And sir, can you give, that means this is a 4 month order book only. We have the deliverable schedule for the coming 4 months. This order will be executable for over a period of 4 months.
Right.
Okay. And sir, for last quarter, I think so, we did some pig iron sale also, sir. If you could quantify, how have those contributed for this quarter?
So this quarter also, we have sold good amount of pig iron. So compared to previous quarter, it was higher by around 20%.
You mean the March quarter?
March quarter, yes. Volume terms.
Okay. And can you provide me with the net debt number, sir, for 30th June? And also currently, sir, I think so we were upgraded by the rating agencies. So what is the current cost of funds and what are the current year maturities?
So our average cost of debt would be around, say, 7.75 approximately, which has gone up from the March quarter because of the rising rate scenario. And our net debt would be around 2,200 crores.
And can you split between the long term and the working capital? How much?
So long term we have around 1,050 crores.
Okay. And
is the balance would be working capital.
That is again 1,050, 1,100.
Next, right.
Sir, and for this current year maturity, what is
we have paper? Around 100 crores of further term loan payments.
Okay, and that is to be paid for the remaining 9 months, or this is for the entire financial year?
No, remaining 9 months.
So we have made post the payment, it is 1,050 as on 30th.
Yes.
Okay, then lastly, sir, on the CAPEX part, I think so we were looking for some debottlenecking exercise at our electro steel plant and also putting up another 1 lakh ton capacity for Kala Asti plant. So what is the current update on the same, sir?
So we have placed orders. We have opened the LCs, which are to be required for equipments. And the progress is happening, and we expect to complete the capacity enhancement by March 2024.
How much have we spent, sir, as of now on the new CAPEX?
Not very significant amount, because it is more towards now we are opening the LCs. So significant expenditure would happen from Q3 onwards.
Okay, and total expenditure for this 1 lakh ton would be? Of the total value would be?
It will be around 400 crores.
400 crores. Right, sir. And lastly, sir, I think so we have this change in inventory of around 107 crores. So if you could give the break, just a ballpark figure, how much is the raw material and what is the finished goods inventory out of this 108 crore or a percentage?
So what you are asking about the consolidated figure, it is more, see, breakup, I don't have the breakup. It will not be possible for to give the breakup separately.
Yeah, Mr. Sakhe, minute figures,
sir.
We will not have a conference call, no?
No issue, sir.
Ballpark figures we can tell, but then it will be very difficult. We can tell you later. You can, send a mail to us. Okay, thank you, Mr. Sakhe.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for all the elaborate answer. I'll join the queue again.
Sure. Thanks.
Thank you. Participants, we request you to please limit your questions to 3.
Exactly, madam, because everybody can't read the time.
Right. And should you have any further questions, you may join the queue back. We will now invite NM Modi, individual investor, to please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Generally, you used to give this investor presentation and press release along with the result, but this time it has not been given, sir.
Good afternoon, Modi ji. Yes, this time it was not been given. We'll try to do it next time.
Yes, sir. And sir, this quarter, are you selling the speed iron, sir? This current quarter, because the prices have gone up now to the iron.
Yes, we have sold some quantity.
Okay, no, I'm asking about this current quarter, sir, July to September. Are you selling now?
The quantity, the volume has come down, but yes, we are selling the surplus.
Sir, and sir, this alloy plants are running okay, sir. We are able to produce the alloy, our capital use.
You mean ferroalloy plant, right?
Yes, sir.
No, it's running well.
Running well, okay. Well, that's it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darshil Zaveri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, good evening, team, and thank you for taking my question. I just wanted to ask what around we are running at near 100% capacity, right?
Right.
So, I think our total capacity is around 7 lakh tons, if I'm not mistaken. So, can we assume, what kind of volume numbers can we assume for the full year? Is there some seasonality play, which is why there was some lower volume compared to Q4 in Q1?
So, normally Q4 is, in this industry, Q3 and Q4 are robust quarters, because the demand is coming from the state and the central side. You know, center funded projects are there. And Q1 and Q2 are generally a bit slower than the second half. And so from the past history, we have been able to, you know, operate at around 95% capacity, 95 to 100%. And for this current financial year also, we are confident that we will be able to achieve the number.
Okay, so if I have to assume a ballpark figure, can we assume H1 consists of 45% of the volume and H2 would be around 50-55%?
Yeah, you would be correct in assuming that.
Also, no problem.
Oh, sorry, sir, I could not hear. Sorry, sir.
You can even assume 50-50 also, 50% in H1 and 50% in H2.
Oh, okay, yeah, thank
maybe
you.
Maybe 1 or 2% here and there. But you can safely take 50-50, no problem.
Okay, okay. I also wanted to know regarding our margins. So can we assume that our margins will see a bit more uptick compared to the current quarter, because it's slid down a bit. So could you give any some color on our margins with the new order book or something?
So it will not be possible to, you know, give any clear indication to that, because a lot of it will depend on the raw material prices, how it behaves. But our aim is to try and maintain the EBITDA that we have been generating.
EBITDA per ton, if I'm, but that is our aim, to have constant EBITDA per ton. And sir, do we see any other reduction in our debt or something other than stated? Do we want to reduce our debt any further, or could we assume the debt to be stable along for this year and next year, considering we have some capex coming in?
So long-term debt has been coming down. And working capital debt, which has increased marginally, it is more on account of higher prices and increased capacity. So you have to consider that. But otherwise, yes, long-term debt has come down. And going forward, we have this capex plant where we will be taking debt in the ratio of 1:1. So some part of the debt for capex would come in, and some part which is due for repayment, that would happen.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much, sir. That answers all my questions.
Thank you
for answering. All the best.
Thank you.
Participants, if you wish to ask any questions, please enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Chetan Phalke from Alpha Invesco. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I think you mentioned our sales during the quarter was some 1.58 lakh tons. So how much of this volume was exports for Q1, sir? If you can help me with the export volume and in value-wise, what was the sales number for exports?
33,000 tons was from exports, around 21%.
Okay, and how much sales from 33,000 tons?
This is sales.
Okay. No, tons, I'm saying, and what is the sales in crores from this volume? I mean, I'm trying to understand the realization for exports.
Realization of exports was higher than domestic. Export value would be, export value, you'll have to give us, we can come back to you. Export value would be around 250 to 260 crores.
Okay, 250 to 260. Okay. And usually, sir, the export realization is higher by 10% to our domestic realization roughly. That's what we should assume going forward as well. Or can it change?
No, you're right. So, generally it is higher by 10 to 15%.
Okay, okay.
But having said that, that does not mean that the margins also increases by 10 to 15% because in case of exports, the cost also goes up.
Yes.
Okay, okay. How come, sir? I mean, if you can just help us understand the dynamics of our export business in terms of costs and other things, as you mentioned. I mean, the cost is also higher. Because, is it because of the product mix or something else?
Yeah, so the specifications of the products changes. It depends on country to country where we are selling. And based on the requirements, because pipes also have, paint coatings. So there are different types of coatings, which are done as per the requirement of the country-specific, client-specific, which, changes the cost dynamics.
Okay. But when it comes to EBITDA per ton, can we assume, I mean, in exports, the EBITDA per ton is higher compared to domestic?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. If we can quantify it by percentage or rupees per ton? Average.
That would be a bit difficult. So because it's not a stagnant kind of number, it keeps varying from quarter to quarter. But yeah, definitely it's higher than what we make in domestic market.
Okay, okay. And sir, in one of our last calls, we have mentioned that there is a possibility that we might start exporting from our Srikalahasti plant as well. But we need some plant-based approvals. Any progress on that front?
We have that in mind, but as of now, the export is getting met out of the eastern unit. So we are going a little slow on that part because there's a lot of domestic demand happening in southern India, which is being catered by the southern unit.
Okay, okay. And sir, what is our average? What was our average cost of coking coal for the quarter gone by?
It was around 30,000 rupees per ton.
13,000 rupees per ton.
30, okay. 30.
Okay, okay, 30. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so for Q4, this number will be, Q2, this number will be higher than 30 or lower than 30. Will there be any partial benefit flowing through?
Q2, my understanding is it would be slightly higher than this number, what we incurred in Q1, slightly. Because the prices of coking coal have started coming down in June, from June onwards. So that will hit our inventory only in mid-Q2. So Q2 would be closer to what was the cost in Q1 or slightly higher than Q1 number.
Okay, okay. Got it. And sir, just one more thing. What was our exports for the last year? I mean, FY22. Just wanted to understand the... how our exports are trending. I mean, are we seeing more inquiries? And unlike our domestic business, wherein our order book is usually for 4 months, so does the export business also move on the similar lines, wherein it is order book based, or how does it work basically? We're just trying to understand, are we getting more inquiries, etc. If you can just throw some light on that.
So we have 10 overseas subsidiaries, and we are present into exports since last 2 decades. We have established presence in Europe, UK, US, Middle East. We have our subsidiaries all over here, and we are also there in Singapore. So we have been selling our pipes to this country since last many years, and yes, the repeated demands are coming in, and because of our permanent presence, it helps us in serving the customers there. In FY22, our total volumes from exports was around 133,000 tons, which was around 22% of the total volumes that we had sold. So export on an average is contributing around 20 to 25% of our total volumes. And depending on the, sometimes a higher demand is coming from Middle East, or sometimes higher demand comes in from US. But eventually it gets balanced out, and we are able to, get a share of around 20 to 25% from our exports.
Okay, okay. Because in the US there is this talk around replacing their entire lead water pipe system. So are we seeing any traction from there, or are we seeing more inquiries from US especially?
This year US has been doing good. So it could be because of the reason that you are mentioning, which I'm not aware of actually.
Yeah, but we are seeing good numbers.
Yes, sir. Hello?
Yes.
No, we are telling, as far as the US market and all, our marketing people will have a better picture than us. We are all finance people, That is the reason. And I must say there is a, it's opening up well.
What is our marketing strength overseas? I mean, just trying to understand what is our workforce, marketing workforce in Europe and US, if you can quantify that, how many people are working for us? And all of them are into marketing.
Sir, all these micro information we don't have on our hands, sir. Please, we can give you later.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
please,
all right.
Please appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you have any questions, please enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor. Kapoor and Kapoor, please go ahead.
Saket Kapoor has already done, madam.
Yes, there was a follow-up question.
Yes, so this is a follow-up, sir. If you allow, then I may speak. Mr. Sridharan?
Yes, please.
Yes, sir. For the what constitute the other income component, sir, and as mentioned by Gaurabji that we have higher, better realizations for export, but when we take consolidation of our accounts, the profitability is lower than what the standalone numbers are. So if you could explain these two factors, sir.
Saketji, see, in case of consolidation, when you're comparing with standalone, as because of Ind AS requirements, some unrealized profit gets knocked out. Ultimately, the overseas subsidiaries that we have, they are marketing arms which are operating in stock and sale basis. So, because of this reason, some part of the profit gets knocked off on the unrealized inventory. Coming to other income, so it is more of interest income that we have received, export incentive that we get, and we have also received dividend from our subsidiary during the quarter, because of which the other income is around 22 crores.
You said we have still ICD spending earlier at Kalahasti.
What is that?
Inter-corporate deposit. Do we have any inter-corporate deposit also income from there?
Nothing.
Correct, sir. Okay, sir. Lastly, sir, only for the raw material mix, sir. Currently, you mentioned about coking coal inventory at a price higher than Q1. How have iron ore inventory being valued, sir? Iron ore prices are on a declining trend for the last two quarters. And also the reason why, sir, you are mentioning that the margins will be lower for Q2. I could not follow that part also.
Iron ore inventory is closer to what it was in Q4 only, Q4 prices. And iron ore prices have been kind of in a narrow range. For Q2, so see, the orders that we have are at a slightly lower price compared to Q1. Having said that, Q2 is also expected to be a reasonable quarter when you compare it to previous Q2.
Saketji?
Order book volumes are likely to be in this order only.
Yes.
160 levels only. This is the 4 months. But they are at a lower realization than what quarter one was.
Marginally lower, yes.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajesh K., individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations for posting good results. Though stock markets has not responded to it, I have two questions. First thing, Electro Steel is a bigger brand, big brand in DIFIs. Similarly, government is giving a kind of a impetus to laying a lot of stormwater or kind of sanitation lines. So very natural, supreme things. They are making inroads. So why not Electro Steel is thinking of kind of going into that plastic pipes where they can, because of their reputation of last 50 years, can earn a good market share. And my second question, if you allow me, is about the claims lying with Government of India, about 1,600-1,700 crore. My suggestion is to, I have to form some group of similar other companies and create a pressure on the government to release a sizable amount so that the company is benefited.
Yes, sir, we will certainly take your advice. We will present it to the top management. But this is, you know, something to be decided at the top level, at strategic level, and we will certainly, I mean, carry your suggestion to our top management, sir.
Okay. Sir, as is our second question?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, the second question was regarding claims language. Government of India, it is taking undue time for so many years, and there are other companies also, these iron ore mines or coal mines have been confiscated. I understand that they also raised their claims. So why not some group of companies, kind of cooperation is formed among themselves, and Government of India is nowadays...
That is what I am telling, sir. All what you are suggesting are strategic decisions to be taken by the board, and you know, we at our operational level, you know, we cannot say anything on that, sir. We will certainly take it to the top management and we will present it to them.
Yes, sir, government is thrusting on the ease of doing of business, so the genuine demand should be sorted out at the earliest, isn't it?
No, certainly. We really appreciate your idea, and we will certainly take it to our top management.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anurag Patil from Roha Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, recently one of your peers indicated that central government has issued advisory to states regarding inclusion of price escalation clauses in DI pipe contracts. So has that become effective, and are we expecting any benefit going forward from that?
Sorry, but we don't have any such information, so we'll not be able to comment on that.
Okay, sir, fine. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chetan Phalke from Alpha Invesco. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
If you can just throw some light on the existing order book, at a pan-India level, what are the tenders in pipeline at present?
Gaurav, tenders we may not know. Because, you know, that is purely marketing, and it is a confidential classified information, you know, which we cannot share. But as far as the order book is concerned, Gaurav, you can tell him what is the order book. And
so we have order book of around 4 months. And, we generally sell to, you know, EPC contractors. So we are not directly participating into tenders. EPC contractors, they participate in tenders.
But generally, I mean, because I think under current Nal Se Jal Yojana, I think some 9 crore households are connected and another 10 crore households remaining. So we are just trying to understand what can be the upcoming opportunity given these 10 crore households are there. And then
Yes, sir. We understand your question.
So if you can quantify the opportunity in million tons or whatever, yeah. I mean, just want to understand how far is the runway, how long is the runway for us.
Sir, actually, sir, we have 4 months order book in our hand. And, you know, this order book, apart from this, we will be also getting our regular orders. So there is no dearth for orders. Now, as far as the future things are concerned, you know, which contract, where, what tender and all. I mean, we at our operational level, you know, it may be difficult, sir. And, you know, all this we cannot also tell. But, you know, sir, as I told you, the Government of India has taken lot of initiatives for this Jal Mission. And, you know, as per the government's old this one, by 2024, they were planning to have Har Nal. So every house should have Nal Jal. So that way, you know, there is an impetus, there is focus on that. And, you know, in view of that, we don't foresee any, you know, dearth of order. And we are confident we will, you know, dispatch or we will sell whatever we are producing. And now, you know, both, I mean, you know, this our Karda plant, that is a West Bengal plant, is already in a big way in exports. And we are also doing a lot of initiative in our Kalahasti plant for exports. We have already started exporting to Singapore and all. So we don't find any problem in, you know, for, I mean, selling whatever we are producing. We don't anticipate any problem.
Yes, sir. I was just trying to understand, I mean, what is the runway and what is the kind of opportunity that we're looking at when it comes to 5-7 years. So that was the only motive. We are not saying this.
All right. Well, five, seven years is a longer, you know, horizon. 5-7 years is a longer horizon, but Gaurav, you can just tell him what is our plan, you know, at least for the next 2-3 years in terms of Kalahasti going up to 5.5 and all.
Okay. Apart from Nalsajal, any other segment that is driving the demand for us, sir, agriculture or any other segment that is picking up?
Yes, yes, yes. Irrigation. Irrigation is a new thing which is opening up. Now, you know, this open irrigation by this, you know, canals is now being replaced by pipes.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, sir, what happened is the city is also extending. Now, you will, if you come to Bombay, the Bombay was maximum, you know, your Thane and all. It has gone to Borivali now. Borivali, Kalgat, Kajarat, Virar, and, you know, I mean, one fine morning it will even, Gujarat also it will go up. So those orders will come. Apart from this Nal Jal is only for the existing. The future orders are also we are expecting, sir. So we don't find any problem in, you know, selling whatever we produce.
Okay, okay. So for agriculture, over the long distance, I mean, the large diameter pipes, I mean, steel based large diameter pipes versus DI pipes. I mean, what is the competitive intensity? I mean, price wise, we are better, quality wise, DI pipes are better, or how does it work?
Sir, see, what happened is, sir, the one side of the canal, if they pump one TMC water, by the time it reaches the end, it will be only 0.2 because there is pilferage, evaporation, and, you know, drawing by people along the, I mean, road. Now, once you put the pipeline, I mean, there will not be any seepage or anything. One TMC put this side, it will reach 0.9 TMC on the other side, irrespective of the distance. Number one. Number two, there is no digging. And, you know, the area of operation also will be very, very lower. Like, you need not have a bigger, you know, I mean, a drench, like 4 feet and all. So, these are the advantages. And DI pipe is certainly a preferable one as compared to other, you know, mode of transportation of water, conveyance of water.
Just to add to what Mr. Sridharan said, that the durability is the, I mean, advantage of DI pipes. It's long, 70 years plus, and very easy to, I mean, lay and fit, and also, I mean, service also, you know, very easy to do. So maintenance free almost.
Okay, got it. But when it comes to pricing, sir, are DI pipes cheaper to the steel pipes that are also, because...
Yeah, overall, see, if you take the cost of the land, cost of digging, water wastage and all, see, DI pipe is 100, I mean, it's certainly a better option. And that is the reason, you know, that is opening up. That market is opening up because of that one only.
Okay, okay. And generally, sir, in any such project, what would be the DI pipe cost compared to the overall project cost?
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay, okay.
But it should be predominant because the laying, you know, only the gaskets and, I mean, because even the ditches one, that cost of that only will be there. I don't think cost of laying will be so high. Only DI pipe should be, I mean, I don't know, it must be 70-80% of the total cost in terms of laying.
Okay, okay. And what is this number in Nal Se Jal? I mean, for the water transportation pipeline, it's the same number?
Yes, yes, everywhere.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, sir.
See, only thing is, you know, from the beginning, the diameter of the pipes will vary. But, you know, the cost will be, I mean, almost the same what I told. Thank you, sir.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Praveen Jadhav, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. Sir, I have two questions. One is, what is the percentage of government orders and the other is private and the export orders?
Go ahead.
So, see, all the orders are coming from government only ultimately, because all these projects are government projects. But for us, the customers are mainly EPC contractors. So 90%, 80 to 90% you can say, 90% of our sales are happening to EPC contractors, and some 10% happens to government directly. And 20 to 25% comes from exports.
Okay. And so my second question is regarding the debt. Like right now the term debt is 1050. So where do you see like the debt coming down in coming years, or like for the capex we'll continue holding this kind of debt?
No, long term debt has its repayment schedule and gradually it will come down.
No, but for future capex you need to like take debt or like, you know, to increase.
Yeah, so as I said, we have 1:1 planned for the upcoming capex, so that will not be a very significant debt. Over a 2-year, 3-year period, you will see that this number has reduced significantly.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is a follow-up question from Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Mr. Gaurav, you were explaining to us about the 2-3 years, the projection at Kalahasti, the capacity being increased to 5.5. So please continue and complete that part, please.
What projections?
What is that?
You were explaining to us about Kalahasti capacity moving up from 5 to 5.5 lakh, but the answer was not completed. Yeah.
No. In Kalahasti, the 4 lakh tons capacity is already put in, and we are achieving 100% of capacity as of now. Now, as far as the present capacity from 4 to 5.5 lakh, we are increasing. It is, you know, it will be done in every month something, and it will be completed in March 2024, and the factory will be producing all the 5.5 lakh tons by April 2024. This is the Kalahasti position.
And sir, in the fitting business, what should be the contribution for this quarter?
So we don't have segment results, Saket ji.
Okay. In percentage terms, I think the fittings also form a good part of the business. So just wanted to understand and how would be the contribution going ahead. And sir, on the finance cost front, when we look at your numbers for the Q&Q finance cost, that has gone up by around 10 crores. So that is mainly on account of the increase in cost, or because of the increase in raw material prices, the working capital has gone up. And these two factors have put stress, or do we have any forex element to it?
No, it is mainly on account of higher working capital utilization and the increase in interest rates that have happened across the industry.
The both.
Yeah. The rates, as you are aware, already the repo rates have gone up. So, yes, so that has also come into play.
Okay, and do forex also have a play in the numbers, unhedged portion, or anything in restating of loans in foreign currency, or it is all Indian rupee only?
So, as of now, we have all the long-term loans are INR loans only, and all the foreign currency loans that we have on account of import are more or less fully hedged.
So there is no forex impact.
No.
Correct, sir. But when, sir, last point is that when we look at your revenue at the console level, the cost element sheet goes up disproportionately. Money. If you take, I can understand the inventory part, which you said that gets knocked off, whatever is unsold. But still, then I think so the employee cost, the other expenses are not commensurate to what the revenue increase is. Money from 1,729 crore, it goes up to 1,767 crore. Wherein you look, if you look at your employee benefit cost, that goes up significantly from 84 to 100.
No,
one 15-16 crore is an increase on a top line gain of only 30 crore. So if you could explain to us the reason for the same, I think so. This is the line item employee benefit expense from 84 crore is on a top line of 1729 crore, and it goes up to 101 crore with an increase of only 30 crore. So Saket, what gets factored in
there? Saketji, first of all, the employee cost goes up, down only on production. It is not on top line on sales. For example, I'm just giving an example. A company produces, say, 50,000 tons and sells only 25,000 tons. Then, you know, based on the sale, the figures will not go up or go down. Correct? No.
Yes, sir.
So you cannot compare, you know, with the top line. That is what I am trying to tell.
Okay, sir. But that was my understanding. Why that has been that way. Okay. Fine, sir. And I think, sir, that going ahead, sir, at the next call, I think, sir, we should have more numerical data available in the, as requested earlier, also either in the form of press release and also some investor presentation, so that the small details which we are seeking during the call can be addressed much before the call, sir, if that would be addressed. Sir. That's the
request. Certainly take into consideration. Don't.
Okay. Thank you, sir. All the best.
Thank you, sir. All the best.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to management from Electro Steel Castings Limited for closing comments.
Thank you all for actively participating in this conference call, and wish you all safe. I thank Valorum and Chorus for organizing this call well. Thank you all. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all. Bye-bye.
Thank you. On behalf of Electro Steel Castings Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.